morning, and thank you for standing by. All parties will be able to listen only until the Q&A portion of today's conference. If you'd like to ask a question during the Q&A portion, you may press star one on your phone. To withdraw your question, you may press star two. Today's conference call is being recorded. If anyone has any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn today's call over to Mr. Jim Katz. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you very much, and welcome to the IBM Cloudburst and WebSphere Cloudburst Appliance Overview. My name is Jim Katz. I'm in Tivoli Worldwide Sales Enablement. And also on the call today, we have Ted Manzanek, who's the Program Director for Cloud Solutions, Mark Habercorn, who's the Product Manager for WebSphere Software, and we also have Brad Buff, who is Worldwide Sales for WebSphere. So, Ted, I'd like to turn this over to you.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Jim. What we're going to try to accomplish today between Mark and myself is we're going to go through initially a brief overview of these two offerings and describe how they're different, just to make sure that you have the correct information and positioning of these products. And then we'd like to talk about how they can be used together to offer benefits to your potential customers. And then finally, we're going to walk through some customer use cases or selling scenarios that hopefully will be able to guide you on when you could offer these products to your customers. So let's get started. Let's start with slide two. As many of you know, most customers face a lot of infrastructure challenges. You know, they're dealing with all kinds of things that drive up their operational costs and create a lot of inefficiencies in their IT environment. There's silos of the IT infrastructure. For example, you might have server silos that don't talk to networking and storage silos. There's islands of compute resources that are isolated from other islands. And in many cases, a lot of the servers are very underutilized. And then there's security and regulation compliance issues that they all have to deal with. And probably one of the more important things is they just don't have the skilled resources to work on these issues. So what we're going to talk about today is how WebSphere Cloudburst Appliance and IBM Cloudburst can help address these infrastructure challenges and drive down costs and improve service delivery. And really they do that by providing out-of-the-box capabilities, in the true appliance-type model, out-of-the-box automation, provisioning, control, and management. So that's what we're going to talk about. So let's begin by first talking about IBM Cloudburst on slide three, and let's describe what it does, and then I'll turn it over to Mark to go through more detail on the WebSphere Cloudburst appliance. So IBM Cloudburst is essentially a pre-integrated turnkey infrastructure for customers who want to deploy a private cloud. So it consists of hardware, software, and services all pre-integrated, pre-installed in the factory. And when it shows up at the customer location, there are services, we call them quick start services, that goes along with the Cloudburst, the IBM Cloudburst purchase that allows customers to quickly get that system integrated and installed in their environment. It also does, the Quick Start Services is roughly a five-day service engagement where training is also provided to the customer. So, the hardware today is System X and Blade Center, x86-based hardware. We do have a power systems version of Cloudburst coming out in the fourth quarter. Including with that hardware, you have platform management software from STG. This is software that manages and configures the hardware. You have the operating system environment and hypervisors. In this case, today it's VMware. And then you have a, on one of the blades in this IBM CloudBurst is the Tivoli software stack that I'll be going through now in a little bit more detail. So that's what you get when you purchase a CloudBurst. Some of the capabilities in that Tivoli software stack that I mentioned include Tivoli Service Automation Manager. We call that TSAM. That's probably the heart of the stack because it provides the self-service portal that allows customers to request the services they need when they need them, and also they can designate the time that they'll need those resources. And so what the benefit there is that, it eliminates, manual processes for requesting resources. The end user accessing the CloudBurst can request these in a self-service mode. Also included is a service catalog. This is a sort of a repository for the services that you're allowing your end users to access. So an end user can pick, from a menu to use one of these services. So the benefit here is, faster delivery of the services you're trying to make available for your customers. There's also automation software included with CloudBurst based on TSAM and TPM. And this helps provision the resources in a fairly rapid time frame, in minutes versus weeks if you were to do this manually by installing the software and provisioning the resources separately. You also get the benefit of consistent provisioning because standard templates are being used by the users accessing the services. And then once the resources are no longer used, they can easily be returned to the pool instead of sitting idle, so others can access those resources. So I mentioned the templates, the automation templates. These are a library of scenarios, that address the basic common provisioning tasks. There's also part of CloudBurst, I alluded to VMware, so you have, as part of CloudBurst, the physical and virtual infrastructure all preloaded and pre-configured, and then you have management software to manage both the virtual and physical resources included in CloudBurst. And so you can use these tools to automatically migrate virtual machines across the different blades in the CloudBurst to maintain the service levels that you've signed up for. The other component included in CloudBurst is Tivoli Usage and Accounting Manager. And this is a metering, usage, and accounting tool that allows you to essentially generate billing to clients for the services delivered based on what they've used. So it allows you to have visibility into the cost of the services you're providing, and it also allows you to understand what these costs are, track and allocate and invoice them by who's using them. So this is another component of that Tivoli software stack. And this is something that customers typically value, especially when you're in a shared resource environment and a virtualized environment like we're talking here about IBM CloudBurst. Another element of CloudBurst is energy management. ITM for energy management is included in the stack, the Tivoli stack. And this provides visibility into energy metrics across the CloudBurst infrastructure, and you can also identify where's energy being consumed, and you can use the energy metrics that come back that are being monitored to drive other actions. So what you're doing here is you have the ability to proactively manage energy usage and reduce the energy footprint of the CloudBurst system. So these are, some of the capabilities we have today in CloudBurst version 1.2. We're very near ready to release the next version, 2.1, on the System X Blade Center platform. We're going to announce this end of August and deliver it end of September. And one of the things that will be added to this list of capabilities is an optional SVC selection so that customers can have different or manage heterogeneous storage devices in their environment that they may already have existing when they purchase the CloudBurst. And then the last thing I wanted to mention on CloudBurst is that it can be extensible, and what I mean by that, it can be the managed from environment. So if someone wants to use CloudBurst to manage other systems or resources in their environment, they can purchase licenses for those other systems to be the managed to devices, and CloudBurst can act as the managed from device. So that's a quick overview of what you get with CloudBurst. Now what I'd like to do is turn it over to Mark, and he'll take you through some of the details on the WebSphere CloudBurst appliance.
Thanks, Ed. Before I get into the description of WebSphere CloudBurst appliance, I'm going to try and use an analogy here. I guess I would consider both of these devices sort of like, you know, vehicles, to use an analogy. A dump truck and a compact car, for example. They're going to have very similar characteristics. Both have steering wheels, both have brake pedals, gas tanks, wheels, paint, you know, all that kind of stuff. But they serve generally different purposes. And I think that same analogy applies here. You're going to hear me say a lot of the same things as far as the underpinnings of what WebSphere CloudBurst appliance has and can do. To rattle off a couple, it manages hypervisors. It gives some basic usage and accounting management, some user and group management for, you know, authorization and authentication. It offers a provisioning engine or a dispensing engine to put virtualized workloads into a virtual environment. Basically does a lot of the same underpinning type infrastructure management things that IBM CloudBurst does. There's a basic difference between the two, though. There's several differences, and I think that's what this next set of slides is going to disambiguate. The first thing I want to disambiguate is the name, I guess. We have the IBM CloudBurst offering that Ted just went through, and we have the WebSphere CloudBurst appliance. You know, the official name is IBM WebSphere CloudBurst Appliance, and I believe IBM CloudBurst. The WebSphere CloudBurst appliance is this purple box you see a picture of on slide 4. I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about what that device is specifically, what it can do, and then talk about some of the similarities and differences between it and IBM CloudBurst, some of the integration scenarios, and the overall value scenarios. So with that, I'll get into the WebSphere CloudBurst appliance detail. It is a secure management appliance. It's delivered in a 1U form factor as an appliance. This appliance is built on the DataPower platform, for those of you who are familiar with that platform. One of the key characteristics from a security perspective is that you cannot open the case of this box. If you do, there's a kill switch inside that destroys an internal flash drive. That flash drive holds a security key that basically unlocks all the data on the externally accessible hard disks. Those disks are accessible on the outside because of a RAID array. If one of the disks fails, you can pull it out and swap it, which would otherwise introduce a security risk, right? If you have all of your cloud data on this one pocket-sized form factor, it could be an easy security breach. So what we've done is, you know, leverage a security statement to say, okay, if you have your entire cloud infrastructure's data in a single location, even getting physical access to that location will not compromise the data in your cloud. We are focused on a set of what we call hypervisor edition products. That's what it says here, reduced setup time for WebSphere environments. The set of hypervisor edition products available today include WebSphere Application Server, WebSphere Process Server, WebSphere Portal Server, and the database DB2. These hypervisor edition products are basically, they're virtual images. They include an operating system. They're provided by the IBM software teams who own those respective products. And as such, they're tuned and delivered in a best practices way. So you're not going to have any issues with operating system versions not coinciding with compatible, you know, middleware versions and that kind of stuff. So we provide you these hypervisor edition products. Those become sort of like atoms, to use another analogy. Instead of dispensing at the atomic level, however, we dispense patterns, which are basically molecules. So they're collections of multiple virtual images in a multi-server topology. So we provide a drag-and-drop user interface to allow you to create this set of patterns by dragging and dropping various of these virtual images onto a canvas, specifying how many of each you need in the topology. You can specify script packages to do various configuration customizations after the fact, so we do give you some flexibility. But at the end of the day, you can have a five-node cluster of WAS with two IHS nodes in front of it, perhaps a couple databases and a portal server or something like that. That can all be represented in the context of what we call a pattern. And it delivers on a lot of the same values that Ted was talking about, specifically consistency. So you're locking down, you're codifying your infrastructure for reduced risk, such that as you're moving from dev test to QA to production, you can use the same pattern or derivation thereof so that you don't have introduction of what we call configuration drift. Configuration drift is basically, because it was so expensive to set up these environments previously, people had an incentive to keep those environments up and running and make slight tweaks to them without starting from scratch and improving the process. In this model, the economics are shifted such that the install and config process is not as expensive, not as time-consuming because of all the factored-out processes, that it's actually the path of least resistance is to update the pattern and redispense from there, thereby capturing your intelligence of the people who are doing this configuration in a codified way. Of course, this gets to simplified maintenance and management because IBM is providing hypervisor edition products that encapsulate the fixes of the supported middleware products, your portal, your process server, et cetera. Stuff is already pre-configured on these images to be ready to run on a hypervisor. There's no installation step. It's basically, plunk it down on the hypervisor and it's ready to run. Slide 5 talks about some of the value of IBM and WebSphere Cloudburst, sort of vis-a-vis each other. They both accelerate time to value and reduce costs. One difference is that IBM Cloudburst is a single package for your entire private cloud infrastructure. WebSphere Cloudburst Appliance, as I mentioned, is more specialized in support of these hypervisor edition images, which are generally WebSphere images and patterns. So what does this mean? If you're a WebSphere seller and you're going into a departmental type scenario where you have a team who is very heavy into a production of one of these hypervisor edition images, one of the products that we have in the hypervisor edition image, then it makes a lot of sense to use WebSphere Cloudburst Appliance because it's a depth story. However, if you are looking at an enterprise-wide type deployment of a private cloud, you're looking for more of a breadth as opposed to a depth. And that's what IBM Cloudburst offers. It's a single package. It can do basically anything you want. So if you're a Tivoli rep and you're looking at an enterprise-wide solution, IBM Cloudburst is your lead-lift vehicle. And Ted's going to go through these scenarios more ad nauseum later on, but I just want to kind of introduce this thought right now. The intersection between the two is if you're a WebSphere rep and you're going into an infrastructure that has adopted Tivoli already and you're looking to drive a WebSphere Cloudburst sale into a particular project, particular departmental application, there's interoperability between the two. If you're a Tivoli rep and you're going into a scenario where WebSphere Cloudburst Appliance already exists, then there's interop such that you can basically tie multiple of these Cloudburst appliances in different departments together at the enterprise layer. And finally, the other point I'd make here is that as an IBM Cloudburst or a Tivoli rep selling an IBM Cloudburst solution, one of the things that you may have against a competitive situation is you're a general purpose management infrastructure at that point, right? Our customers are going to be asking us, what is your competitive differentiation versus the competition? And it's going to come down to a set of what costs you're removing, how much time can you remove, that kind of thing. If the particular situation you're involved in involves WebSphere products that we have hypervisor edition images for, then it makes a lot of sense to include a WebSphere Cloudburst appliance in your story because for that set of the use case, you're going to have much more value delivered than you could with any general purpose provisioning engine. And that will give you a competitive advantage against your competition and ultimately drive a sale of likely both of the Cloudbursts, which is the best scenario we can ask for. The benefit in all these scenarios is that you still use a single portal for all of your cloud service requests, regardless of whether or not you're going through the WebSphere Cloudburst appliance or the IBM Cloudburst solution. So this does look like an integrated solution to the customer, and that's the key thing. So the customer will perceive this as basically one solution at the end of the day. Slide 6 talks a little more about the similarities and differences. Again, they vary in degree of specialization. I think I touched on this on the previous slide a bit in my depth versus breadth explanation. But just to rehash, IBM Cloudburst is a general-purpose cloud solution. It basically can manage any heterogeneous workload that you can imagine with the appropriate scripting effort applied. The WebSphere Cloudburst appliance is purpose-built for a more narrow set of use cases to create, deploy, and manage private clouds, hypervisor edition images. So there's less work to be done in those cases, but there are fewer cases. So again, it's a depth versus breadth. It's specificity versus general purposeness. Both of them, of course, deliver excellence in constructing and managing private clouds. We're talking about on-premise environments here, not public clouds or off-premise environments. They vary in form factors. The IBM Cloudburst solution is a prepackaged cloud, like Ted mentioned. It comes with the integrated hardware, the storage, the network switches, everything you need for the entire cloud. It's basically a cloud in a box. You roll it on your floor, and you have a cloud. The WebSphere Cloudburst appliance is a cloud management device. It's a 1U appliance that manages a private or on-premise cloud, meaning none of the software we're talking about, these hypervisor edition images, actually run on the 1U purple box. It manages a set of external resources. So if you have underutilized hardware running in your environment, either a Power VM, a ZVM, or an ESX environment, you can basically leverage that environment with the WebSphere Cloudburst appliance, and it's basically a bring-your-own-cloud type of a story. So there's a difference in the form factor. There's also a difference in, I guess, the asset delivery, as you can see in the last slide last bullet on slide 6. The IBM Cloudburst solution comes with a prepackaged set of automation templates to reduce the set of scripting needs that there are to get a new application up and running for provisioning. So sort of a fast path to get less of that elbow grease required in the instantiation of IBM Cloudburst. WebSphere Cloudburst appliance ships with a set of IBM hypervisor edition images and patterns that sort of wire those images together in an optimized way. Slide 7 talks about integrating IBM and WebSphere Cloudburst appliance. So we mentioned that, of course, WebSphere Cloudburst appliance complements the IBM Cloudburst solution specifically in a depth fashion to complement the breadth scope of IBM Cloudburst, such that if you're targeting a team that has a large volume of hypervisor edition images invested already, it makes sense to include the WebSphere Cloudburst appliance to leverage the competitive advantage we have in that space in the context of your broader enterprise-wide IBM Cloudburst type solution. You can see that sort of depicted on the right-hand side of this chart on slide 7. WebSphere Cloudburst appliance is subservient to a CSAM or an IBM Cloudburst solution and manages a piece of the overall cloud. Perhaps that's a department, like we said before. That could be one team out of several lines of business or whatever. You might have several WebSphere Cloudburst appliances across different departments, and you may have IBM Cloudburst or CSAM at the enterprise level coordinating those between each other. So that's, I guess, one scenario you can imagine. In these cases, use a single portal to manage your cloud services. That becomes the TSAM interface. And the WebSphere Cloudburst appliance can use the IBM Cloudburst resources. So we mentioned that IBM Cloudburst is a cloud in a box. It comes with a set of blades, hypervisors on them. WebSphere Cloudburst appliance can utilize those such that your entire cloud solution is contained in one box. Slide 8, the set of integration scenarios specific to these two products. Basically two here. You have one where provisioning to the IBM Cloudburst cloud. So IBM Cloudburst will call into the WebSphere Cloudburst appliance, deploy patterns to the VMware ESX servers that are inside IBM Cloudburst. That's one scenario. The second scenario is where WebSphere Cloudburst appliance is managing a completely different set of hypervisor resources outside of IBM Cloudburst. And that would be more the departmental approach where each department owns their own hardware, for example. Allow IBM Cloudburst to provide that upfront consolidated portal access but you want to allow people to retain their own ownership of hardware. We support that scenario as well. And again, the users, and we can't say this enough, benefit from a consistent experience in both use cases as they're using the same interface in both places. Slides 9 and 10 sort of pictorialize these scenarios. Slide 9 is the first scenario I mentioned on slide 8, and slide 10 is the illustration of the second scenario on slide 8. So I'll leave you to peruse those at your leisure, and you can use these in context of discussions with customers to sort of show what these scenarios look like. With that, I'm going to hand it back over to Ted to take you through slides 11 through the end and discuss some more about why customers would use IBM CloudBurst and Webster CloudBurst together. So, Ted?
Okay, thanks a lot, Mark. And then hopefully we'll have time to open it up for questions at the end. So I'm on slide 11 now, and really just to summarize some of the key points, if you remember, we talked about the pains or challenges your customers face. You know, I mentioned the IT silos, the islands of compute resources, underutilized assets, security and compliance concerns, and, you know, one of the big ones is lack of skilled resources. And really what they're concerned about, as many of you know, is they're concerned about costs and inefficiencies in managing their IT infrastructure. So, again, what IBM CloudBurst and WebSphere CloudBurst Appliance provide is a delivery model, an appliance-like delivery model, to address all of these issues. And they do that by delivering these prepackaged, out-of-the-box capabilities for automating and provisioning images and patterns, and also for the control and management of these resources. So the key benefit here is the rapid time to value. Because of all the pre-integration that's been done, it saves a lot of resources and time to get up and running. So that time to value is a key benefit, and that translates into reduced costs and down the road for the customers accessing the cloud, the private cloud that you've set up, you're going to have higher customer satisfaction because of the improved service delivery that these products provide. And then just to underscore the other point that was made is that by delivering these services based on, you know, standard images, templates, and patterns, this brings a level of consistency to how these services are delivered, and that avoids a lot of problems and saves a lot of resources in the IT staff, helping, again, drive down costs. Now, I wanted to spend a little bit of time on just walking through some of the customer use cases or selling scenarios on slide 12. Mark mentioned one or two of these already. So the question is, how would you know when to recommend WebSphere CloudBurst Appliance, IBM CloudBurst, or a combination of both of these? So what we tried to do here in this chart was to provide, some level of high-level guidance based on, what does the customer have and what are they really trying to do? For example, if you look at the second one there, you have a customer who is already a good WebSphere customer, but they don't have Tivoli, and they actually use a Tivoli competitor. And what they want to accomplish is, they want to deploy WebSphere workloads in a cloud, and they want to do, some self-service provisioning on existing hardware. So this would be a scenario that would be perfect for recommending and leading with WebSphere CloudBurst Appliance. A couple other scenarios to walk through here is, let's look at the fourth one. Here's a customer who doesn't have WebSphere. They don't have Tivoli or a Tivoli competitor, or they may already have Tivoli. So you have either a completely greenfield opportunity or a customer who has some Tivoli products already installed. And what they're asking you to help them with is they want a private cloud with general purpose provisioning and self-service, but they they want to use their existing hardware. So one way to look at this is it's really neither, you know, WebSphere CloudBurst appliance or IBM CloudBurst. If they want to use their existing hardware, you could look at the components within IBM CloudBurst, like TSAM, TPM, ITM, and TUAM, the products I went through earlier, and recommend those to help them create sort of a custom cloud using their existing hardware. We just announced yesterday ISDM, IBM Service Delivery Manager, which is a set of software, you know, virtual images, basically a software virtual appliance that consists of the Tivoli software stack that is included with CloudBurst. So think of IBM Service Delivery Manager as, you know, CloudBurst software without the hardware. That's a case, you could recommend something like ISDM for their existing hardware. And then, you know, if you look at the last scenario there, you have a customer who's a good WebSphere customer. They may have Tivoli or they may not, but what they're asking you is, again, they want to deploy a private cloud. They prefer to use new hardware, and they want, they want both the general purpose self-service provisioning of multiple workloads as well as specific deployment of WebSphere patterns. And this is really the scenario that Mark covered in the slides previously, where the best recommendation here would be to recommend a combination of IBM CloudBurst and WebSphere CloudBurst appliance working together, as you saw on, you know, slides 8, 9, and 10. So these are just some examples. I'm sure, you know, you have, you know, unique customer situations, but hopefully this provides some level of, guidance on how you can look for customers who would be, appropriate to recommend these solutions. And then before we open up for questions, just for your reference on slide 13, we have pointers to more information. There's a CloudBurst sales kit. There's a WebSphere CloudBurst appliance wiki. And then you have, our contact information there as well. So feel free to, if you're listening to this in recorded fashion, feel free to visit those sites or contact us directly with any questions you may have. So that concludes what we wanted to cover here today. Hopefully you found it helpful. And with the time remaining now, I'd like to turn it back to the operator and open it up for questions.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. To withdraw your question, you may press star 2. Once again, any questions, please press star 1 at this time. One moment for the first question, please.
Hey, Mark, this is Brad. For us software guys, what in the world does 1U mean? Back on, I think it was chart 6.
Sorry, Brad. 1U basically means one rack unit, which is a dimension as far as how big the actual server is. 1U is basically the size of a pizza box. It's the smallest increment on a rack.
Okay. Thanks.
At this time, there are no questions.
Okay. Well, again, thanks a lot for your time. Hopefully this was helpful. And, again, just to reiterate, if you do have any questions or you have questions coming in from your customers that you need help on, please feel free to contact any of us, and we'd be glad to provide you the help and support you need. Thanks again for your time.
Thank you for joining today's conference call. All parties may disconnect at this time.